Because God is an infinite God. He has an infinite capacity for love, and He loves each and every one of us infinitely. That's an amazing thing. He loves us so much that even when we turn away from Him, He still loves us and still reaches out to us and still calls to us to repent.
That's just ahead on this episode of Guerrilla Christianity.
This week we are continuing our sermon series called When God Speaks. And what we've been looking at is when God is speaking to His people. It's recorded all throughout the Bible that God often speaks to people. God often speaks to people. And He speaks to us today through His holy word. He speaks to us in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us. God inspired the writing of the 66 books of the Bible. And so, God speaks. When God speaks, the question we asked last week is, are you listening? Are you listening for God's voice? Notice in the story last week in Samuel, God spoke to him. God said, Samuel, Samuel. He called his name, Samuel, Samuel. But he didn't give the message until Samuel was prepared, until Samuel was ready, until Samuel was listening. And when Samuel said to him, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, then God gave him his message. The question that we have today is, what is God's message? What's God's message to us today? And that's the title of the sermon today. God's message to us. And we already read Jonah, which is where we're going to be today. Jonah chapter 3 is our text. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer, prepare our hearts to receive the word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we desire to know you more. We desire to know your heart and know your will for us. The message that you are speaking to us today. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that we may come to know you more. And in knowing, love you more deeply. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have any of you ever been lost in the car? Driving in the car and you got lost? Maybe it's been a few years since that's happened, because a lot of people nowadays have GPS, you know, that annoying woman who tells you where to turn and what to do, right? When I was a kid, we called her Mom, and I kid, I love my mother. So, but you know, when I first got my license, we didn't have GPS. We had these paper things called maps. Right? And the maps weren't always very good. I mean, they told you how to get to the town where you were going, and then you were kind of on your own to figure out how to get to the actual street address, right? Well, there was one time when I was a kid, I was a teenager when this happened. I had to drive to Montclair. I had some friends who lived in Montclair, went to Montclair College. And I was in Pittman, and I had to drive to Montclair. So what do you do? Well, I knew how to get to Montclair. I've been there many times. I always took the turnpike, right? But on this particular day, for whatever reason, the turnpike was all backed up. And I didn't have Google Maps telling me why it was backed up or how to get around it, right? So instead, I decided on my own to get off the 295, or get off the turnpike and get on the 295. I figured, well, 295 goes north. I've never been to 295 as far as it goes. It must go up north somewhere, right? So I'm like, I'll just get on 295 and keep taking that, and eventually something will tell me how to get to Montclair, right? So I get on 295 north, and I'm driving. The next thing I know, I'm on 95 south, okay? I'm like, how did that happen? I didn't turn. I didn't get off the highway, right? So what did I do? I'm going the wrong direction. I had to turn around, right? So I turn around. I figured 95 North. I know 95 North goes into New York City, so I'm just going to get on 95 North and stay on 95 North, and that'll take me up in that general area. And I'm driving on 95 North, and next thing you know, yeah, I'm on 295 South. You know? Who designed this road, by the way? Right? Some sadist, right? It's just, I'm just going to make a big loop and make people drive back and forth all day. So, well, anyway, I did eventually get to Montclair, but I got turned around. I didn't, and you know what happens is sometimes you have to ask for directions, and you have to stop, and somebody points you in the right direction, and so you get turned around, and you get going in the right direction. That's what God's message is for us, because we get going in the wrong direction sometimes, don't we? We get going in the wrong direction, and God says to us, you need to turn yourself around. What do we call that? We call it repentance. Repentance. God's message all throughout the Bible, believe it or not, is a message of repentance. Why? Because we are sinners. Because we constantly get going in the wrong direction and we need to be turned around. And what repentance is I'm walking towards sin and I need to turn away from sin and back toward God. And that's what repentance is when I turn around. It's a total change of my heart. It's a total change of my thinking. And all of a sudden, the things that I used to desire, I don't desire anymore. Those things don't taste as good for me anymore. Those things don't look as appealing to me anymore. Because I have turned away from those things that are just shadows of something that I want. And I turn towards God, which is the fullness of everything that I could possibly desire. And so that's what repentance is. Repentance is turning away from our sin and turning toward God. God's message to us is frequently one of repentance. And again, all throughout the Bible, you don't even have to go four chapters into the Bible before you first hear God's message of repentance. In Genesis chapter 4, we know the story of Cain and Abel, right? Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God. God loved Abel's offering, but he did not. He was like, with Cain's sacrifice, he's kind of like, whatever, you know. So Cain was jealous, and he got angry, and his face fell. And God said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. See, even there, God was warning Cain that sin was going to consume him. He said, sin is crouching at the door. Sin will grab you and just twist you up. And that's exactly what happened. Cain didn't listen to God. He didn't repent of his sin. He went and he slew Abel, right? It's a very tragic story that we all know. But even though, and when you read throughout the Old Testament, man, it's just constantly, you know, God is always reaching out in love to the people, and the people are constantly turning their backs on him. You sit there and you wonder, when is God going to give up? Well, God is an eternal God. God is an eternal God, and he exists in eternity's past. He exists all the way in the future. He's uncreated. He's existed for all time, and he knows everything that's going to happen, and he will never, ever, ever give up on us because he loves us that much. Because God is an infinite God. He has an infinite capacity for love, and he loves each and every one of us infinitely. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing that God loves us so much. He loves us so much that even when we turn away from him, he still loves us and still reaches out to us and still calls to us to repent. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God even gives us a way. Even when we turn away from him, he offers us a solution. He tells us there's a way to come back. He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, there's that repentance, Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. All we have to do is turn back to God, and He welcomes us with open arms. For many years, I walked away from God. Imagine this. I'm walking in one direction, away from God, away from God, away from God. And you would think that after so many years, decades even, of walking away from God, that when I finally came to my senses, or came to myself, as it says of the prodigal son, that when I turned back, I would have all that distance to go back. But no, when I turned around, God was right there. How amazing is that? God was there waiting for me. He's waiting for me to turn back to Him. That's how much God loves us. That even when we turn away from Him, and even when we wander, and as far as we go, as soon as we turn around, there He is, right with us. He's waiting for us. He's waiting there for with open arms, and He's pleading with us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's all they have to do. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Psalm 7 says, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. That's an angry thing. But you know, here's the thing. You know, if you're in the store and you see a child who is acting like a brat, you know that word, brat, right? I know that word because that was my nickname growing up, Brett the Brat, right? So if you see a kid in the store who's acting like a brat and their parent is standing right there and doing absolutely nothing about it, what is your thought? Terrible parent, right? What a horrible, unloving, right, parent. Because if the parent loves that child, he'll take them and go, listen, you, straighten up. You know, we're in the store. You're embarrassing me. That's one of my mom's favorite things. You're embarrassing me, right? But you say something to the child. You straighten them out, right? And when they're laying on the ground, kicking and screaming because they didn't get a candy bar, right? What do? You pick them up. You put them in the cart, you know? My mom would pick me up, and she would pick me up a little bit higher each time and drop me in the cart. Boom, you know, a little higher. Boom, you know. But that's a loving parent. That's a loving parent. If she didn't love me, she wouldn't care. And if she didn't care, she wouldn't say nothing. You know, whatever, just do your thing. And I'm just going to keep on shopping and just ignore you. That's not how God loves us. God loves us by being that loving parent who chastises us when we're wrong, who rebukes us when we have strayed. And He calls to us to repent. Ezekiel chapter 14, we're still in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, all throughout all the prophets, they all had one message, and that was to Israel, turn away from your sin, repent, repent and come back to God. And Ezekiel 14 chapter 6 says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. You know, Ezekiel is such an awesome book. I want to turn there now, and I didn't prepare for this, but it just occurred to me. But in, don't you love it when that happens? The Spirit is amazing. Ezekiel chapter 18 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. This is God's admonition to those who have turned away from Him in sin. And this is how He ends this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye, he says to Israel. He's pleading with Israel. He's saying, turn away from your sin. I don't want for you to die. I don't want for your destruction. That's not the heart of God. God's heart is to save everyone, that everyone would live. He doesn't have a heart for destruction. He has a heart for life. He created life in His image so that it would flourish, not so that He could destroy it. And that's not the kind of father that he is. He's not a horrible, vengeful, abusive father. He is a loving, chastising, rebuking father. It's a love, it's not a love that coddles. It's a love that perfects. It's a love that makes us more in his image every day. So that brings us to Jonah. Jonah. I love Jonah. You know, Jonah's a great book. You can read the entire book in like 15 minutes. Seriously, it's only 48 verses, okay, in the book of Jonah. And we all know the story, don't we? Well, we've heard the story in Sunday school. It's a little bit deeper in the Bible than the story that you heard in Sunday school. It's not, you know, like Veggie Tales, where there's a cucumber floating around in the ocean, right? But this is Jonah, okay? Let me give you a real quick synopsis of the first two chapters, okay? So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. He wants him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, okay? Assyria, it's a pagan nation, and they are the enemies of the Jews. In fact, they were about to conquer the Jews this time, okay? And so they're the enemies of Jewish people. They're the enemies of God. And he gives Jonah this message, and Jonah's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Okay? Now, some people think, well, he went to Tarshish because, you know, Nineveh is 550 miles north and east of Jerusalem. That's quite a distance, right? But Tarshish is 2,500 miles away, okay? 2,500 miles. It's like going from Orlando to L.A., all right? It's an immense distance, all right? It's all the way on the southern tip of what we call Spain, all right, is where Tarshish is. That's where he was headed. God had other plans. He sent a storm. Right, he gets in a boat. God sent a storm. It's going to wreck the ship. The sailors are freaking out. Now they're all praying to their gods with a little G, gods, right? And nothing's happening. And then they go and they find Jonah. Where's Jonah? He's sleeping, isn't he? He's sleeping in the ship. I find it amazing because it's like a picture of Jesus. When Jesus was in the boat and the waves were coming over the boat and they were going, and the disciples were just freaking out. And they go and they see Jesus, and Jesus is sleeping, right? And they wake him up and they're like, aren't you concerned that we're going to die? And he just gets up and he's like, peace be still. And the waves stop, right? How amazing is that, right? And this is the faith, I think, of Jonah. Jonah has this faith too. But they wake him up and they cast lots and they find out that it's Jonah is the reason that this storm is, right? And they say, well, who are you? Where do you come from? What have you done? And he says, well, I'm a prophet of God. And immediately they're afraid because they realize he had already told them that he was going to Tarshish against the word of God. So they're like, well, what have you done? Why have you brought this disaster upon us? What can we do? And he says, well, if you want the storm to stop, you have to toss me overboard. And they're like, no, we can't do that. And they start throwing everything overboard except for Jonah. And finally, at the end, they pray this prayer to God. This is an amazing prayer. These are pagans, all right? They don't even believe in God, but this is what it says. They cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took him, they throw him into the sea, the waves stop. And that makes them even more fearful. They're like, whoa, what just happened? The storm stopped. Then they start giving praise to God. And God sends a fish and swallows up Jonah, right? We all know that part of the story. Now, some people say it's a whale, right? The Bible says it's a great fish. I got to believe the Bible. God spoke and the worlds were formed, did he not? Right? Could God make a fish that could swallow a man? Yes, he could. So let's just go with that, all right? Chapter 2, there's this amazing prayer of repentance, okay? Jonah realizes he was wrong. And he prays this amazing prayer. He says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. See, there's that repentance. He said, I was turned in the wrong direction, and now I'm turning back to God. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's an amazing prayer. That's an amazing prayer. And we would do well, when we are in need of repentance, to pray that same prayer. If you are looking for another prayer of repentance, look to Psalm 51, David's prayer of repentance after he had committed adultery and murder over Bathsheba. But at the end of all this, the Lord spake unto the fish, it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Okay, we're all caught up. Now, chapter 3. All right? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Jonah had turned away from God, had gone in the opposite direction, and yet the instruction that God gives him in verse 2 of chapter 3 is almost identical to the instruction he gives him in verse 2 of chapter 1. Before he went and turned away from God, he gives him this instruction, and then when he had gone through the storm, when he had gone through the belly of the fish, and when he had gotten vomited up on the dry land, God didn't say to him, you wicked, wicked man, you should have done what I... No, he didn't do that. Why? Because he had already repented. God said, I accept that, and we're moving on. And it acts as if nothing had ever happened. Isn't that awesome? That's what God's grace is like. God's grace is so forgiving that it's like we never sinned against Him. That's what I love about the word justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God treats His relationship with me when I repent. And so, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Nineveh, by the way, if you're wondering about the geography of this whole thing, all right, Nineveh is very close today to present-day Mosul in Iraq. Okay? That's where Nineveh is, Mosul in Iraq. We all know what's going on in Mosul today, right? Lest we begin to judge Jonah too harshly, let me ask you this. How would you feel if God said to you today, I want you to go to Mosul in Iraq and preach this word to the people of ISIS, you know? And you're like, yeah, I really want to get on that plane, right? No. No, it's not a very exciting prospect. So, I mean, he's going into enemy territory and telling them that they're the enemies of God, basically. And this is his message. He began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his message of repentance. He says, you guys are wicked. 40 days, God's going to burn this place to the ground, right? So, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. They were pagans. They didn't even believe in God, and yet they believed this word of this prophet. They proclaimed the fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They humbled themselves. They humbled themselves. And they turned away from what they were doing. Now, we didn't read verses 6 through 9, but it's basically the king of Nineveh gets wind of this prophecy, and he also repents. He humbles himself. He puts on sackcloth and ashes, and he declares a fast throughout the entire nation. Okay? And he ends with this: who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10, God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, the Hebrew there that's translated as repented is more like he changed his mind. He changed his mind. Okay? Now let me ask you this. Do you think that God actually changed his mind? Or do you think that God sent his messenger to Nineveh in order that they would turn and then he wouldn't have to destroy them? You understand that? This is the heart of God. Like I said, in Ezekiel, he said, I don't desire that any should perish. So turn and live. He was pleading with Israel. He's pleading now with the Ninevites, the same thing. So when they turned from their wicked ways, he relented and he allowed them to live. So what we learn in Jonah today is this. This is what God is saying to the world. What is God's message to us? He is calling on us to repent, to turn away from our sin, and to turn back to him. It's the consistent message throughout the Bible, and for a couple of reasons. First, God is a holy God and cannot abide sin. Second, God desires for us to be holy so that he can have a relationship with us, his creation, made in his image. Third, God is not willing that any should perish, but the wages of sin is death, and so God's call to repentance is an admonition of love, a warning given in his grace. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens and calls to repentance. An unloving father lets his children do whatever they please with no consequences. But a father who loves his children will rebuke them when they stray from what is honorable and good. God is our loving father. His love for us is perfect. And if you are caught up in the grip of sin today, then this is God's message for you. Repent, turn away from your sin, and turn back to God. Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, have mercy upon us, your people. We have sinned. We have broken your law. We have turned away from you in the idolatry of our hearts and turned to the things of the world. The world is a liar, Lord, and we have believed its lies. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so we hear your message of love this day. The conviction of your Holy Spirit burns within us. We repent of our sin and turn back to you. Forgive us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.